Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 219, Diary of an Unintentional Extraordinary Life, 6. The Space Tourist. Read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing theme by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, you might save the wrong person.
It's been quite a while since my last post. I'd like to say that I have been so incredibly busy I haven't had time to write. I really would like to say that. So, I, the amazing Dr. Slow-Mo, have been so busy ridding the world of super evil stuff, I have not had time to post. Done and, well, sort of said. But the truth is, I've had only one gig, albeit a big one, which I still need to pay off to get back on Hero on the Way. The, client, bought the app and kicked me off until I pay his rocket company for the damages they are suing me for. There was also this scam, you see, which prevented me from accessing my social media accounts, or more accurately, bricked my dad's laptop, which I, have been borrowing until I'm back on Hero on the Way and can afford a phone again. Sure, Dad can shoot laser beams from his eyes and fly at hypersonic speeds. But he is not digitally native and clicked on a link in an email supposedly from his old superhero buddy, Hombre de Agua. As it turns out, Hombre doesn't have a computer or even a smartphone. Since retiring, Hombre created a line of popular water filters bearing his name and lives off the grid on a tropical island. Guess Agua had way better merchandising deals than Mom and Dad. If only. Oh well, my career coach tells me not to dwell on the past, but I digress. The link Dad clicked downloaded some ransomware, which bricked his computer, hence my online access. Dad immediately flew into a rage and was about to burn a hole in the intransient machine with his laser vision, then hunt down Hombre and make him pay for sending the infected message, when my sister Ephemera thankfully intervened. The anonymous extortionist was demanding 100 ether to unlock Dad's hard drive. P.S. Dad still buys everything with cash, so asking him for crypto coin, well, it resulted in the top right corner of the laptop screen being melted. It's still usable as evidence by this post. However, the screen is missing a few thousand pixels, and you can't fully expand a window anymore. Again, I digress. Little did that small-time villain know what a fatal mistake they had made trying to extort my family. I truly feel sorry for them. We called in the heavy artillery. My 6-year-old niece, little Izzy, who has a brain the size of a mountain, tracked the miscreant down. My sis, Ephemera, transported us to their top-secret hideout, an old industrial town in central Eurasia. Cousin Vortex threatened to wipe out the local coal-powered electricity plant, sending their other business, an extensive Bitcoin mining operation, into chaos. There was a tense standoff, which was finally resolved when little Izzy broke the evil one's encryption code and posted the hack on a popular white hat site. However, she was just a little too late, as Vortex, never known for being patient and concerned he would be late for his haircut appointment, whipped up a moderately sized F4 Tornado. We later learned without electric power, the entire economy of the region collapsed. Well, these things happen, which just reinforces it is not a good idea to get involved in shady internet scams. Vortex, however, also indirectly triggered my current little problem. It all started about a week before Dad's brush with ransomware by a gig posted on the Hero on the Way app. Rescue needed. Trapped by greedy extortionists, the title read. Business being slow, I had been bidding on cat rescues, so of course I was interested. Plus, the anonymous client had placed an unusually low cap on the gig, which meant the likes of Honcho and other top-tier superheroes on the app wouldn't look at it. Perfect, I said to myself as I checked the list of bidders. Synapse and Invisio, as usual, were my competitors. Synapse usually drives clients away with their snarky attitude, and Invisio is so shy they turn 100% transparent so the client isn't aware of their presence. Both have part-time Mick jobs, and as a result, they are only willing to go so low. I put in the winning bid, 10% under their floor, and got the gig. The client immediately demanded another 3% discount and movie rights. Hey, who is going to make a movie about me? I'm flattered, but a movie? Not likely. So I agreed, but didn't realize the client owned a major video streaming service, and in hindsight, I should have negotiated a residual. Okay. Live and learn, right? After providing a thumbprint, a voice print, DNA sample, and signing a non-disclosure agreement, the Hero on the Way app released the contract details, and I found myself working for one of the richest people on, or more precisely, currently orbiting the planet. I had vaguely recalled hearing something about it. Wow, what a score, I thought. And yes, there were signs, but like I said, I needed a gig. The first red flag was the location of the job. It was far away, and the client wasn't willing to pay travel costs. When I suggested the bus would take 2 days to get there, my client took a hissy fit and insisted ASAP meant now, or better yet, yesterday. I explained I don't travel backwards in time. He responded rather rudely, using a series of expletives about my literalness, adding I should just fly like any regular superhero. In turn, I explained that every superhero has their own special power, and if lucky, maybe two, three at tops. But in the price range he had set, you get someone who can fly, or someone like me who has another superpower, but not both. The Hero on the Way end-user agreement mentions that somewhere on page 20. Obviously, my client hadn't read them. When he threatened to back out of the contract, I pointed out the termination clause on page 35, which only allows a contract to be bought out at 1,000% of the agreed-on fee. Thankfully, it had been recently added to deal with problematic clients, like this one. Thank you, Synapse, for suggesting it. As a compromise, I committed getting to the site in less than an hour, which is well within the stated Hero on the Way service standards. Heck, I really went out of my way to get there fast. Usually, Sis would teleport me, or Dad would fly me. But Ephemera had a parent-teacher meeting, and Dad was playing in the annual retired superhero golf tourney, and nothing ticks Dad off more than being interrupted while he's playing golf. Last time that happened, he inadvertently started a fire on the 18th hole, which burnt down the clubhouse. He was forced to change country clubs after the incident, which left Cousin Vortex. In hindsight, I should have waited for Sis's parent-teacher meeting to end. So what? Mr. Impatient would have had to wait another hour or so. It wasn't as if he had anywhere to go, or his space capsule was about to run out of air, right? I wanted to say that poor planning on your part does not necessitate an emergency on mine. My career coach suggested this as an opening to negotiate higher fees for rush jobs, but I'm still a bit shy about that kind of stuff. Vortex got me to the ground control building in blistering time, riding the lip of a pretty impressive F5 tornado. I had done everything I could to insist on the smallest F5 he could conjure, which I guess was still a bit of an overkill. Okay, we did toss a few garbage bins around in the parking lot when we arrived, and those bins landed on a few vehicles and maybe went through a few windows. But I got there ASAP, as ordered, and the damage could have been worse. Vortex's departure uprooted a few trees, lampposts, and blew a new expensive-looking EV into a tree. Nothing a decent body shop couldn't fix. That's just my cousin. He likes to make splashy, noisy entrances and exits. He also carries a lot of collateral damage insurance, something I don't have. Anyway, after the dust settled, literally, I noticed the building was surrounded by people carrying signs. That's when I realized my second mistake of the day. I had been in too much of a hurry to put in my contact lenses. So, when I say the building was surrounded by people, I'm making an assumption about moving colored blobs. My phone immediately pinged. I held it up to the limit of my clear vision, just beyond my nose, and read. "Are you there yet?" the sender complained, using several red exclamation marks and a flame emoji. "Just arrived, changing into my outfit," I texted back.
"No outfit,"
he demanded. "But it's part of my branding strategy. My career coach will be mad," I replied, or that's what I wanted to reply. Autofill translated it to braining strategy. Sis had given me 5 sessions with a career coach specializing in the superhero business sector.
?"
He messaged, then appeared to figure it out.
"The ground control team can't know how I pulled this off. I need them to think someone caved in, or I have some hidden remote or something cool like I'm magical, or have amazing tech, or something like that. I'll give you another 3% to wear street clothes."
That brought me back to my original bid. I was happy and immediately accepted. I figured my career coach would agree with the compromise.
"Alright, so here's the deal,"
my client texted.
"The ground crew is refusing to initiate the auto deorbit and landing sequence until I come up with the money they are demanding. It's pure extortion, pure evil, pure greed. They're already paid a buck more than minimum wage, which meant we couldn't afford the teakwood trim in the capsule. What more do they want? They're a bunch of criminals. I'll fire them. However, right now I need you to sneak in unseen into the mission control room. In the front row of consoles, there is a station named Flight Dynamics. There's 2 big buttons, a green one and a red one on the right side. The green one is labeled Initiate Descent. The red one is for Emergency Parabolic Reentry. Don't press it. Use the green one. Simple, right? All you need to do is stop time like your profile claims you can. I checked a few reviews, so I know you can do it. By the way, you're only getting 1 star. So go in and press the green button, and I might give you 3.
3? Figures. Well, I haven't told many people this, but I'm colorblind. Hey, there were labels, right? So, no problem. I slipped into a line of people waiting for what I thought was a facility tour, and asked the guide if we would be seeing the mission control room.
"Where else would we be going?"
she scowled, muttering something about not being paid enough to deal with stupid questions. We stopped next to the merch shop on the way in. While our guide was explaining something about the agreement everyone had signed, I slipped in and bought as much bottled water as I could carry. For those of you new to my story, I first discovered my superpower when I was almost 5. I was stuck in the slow checkout line at the grocery store. I told Dad that I had to go really, really badly. Dad didn't want to lose his place in line and told me to hold it. He has the classic superhero baritone voice, and, as you already know, he shoots laser beams from his eyes and has a bit of an anger issue. So, naturally, I obeyed, and I tried so hard, time slowed to a stop. That's my trigger. Time slows when I really, really got to go. but that day, I was sweating profusely. My Kevlar superhero suit with matching custom Dr. Slow-Mo logo wasn't meant to be worn underneath other clothes. It can't exfoliate or perspire or something. Plus, the AC in the building wasn't working. The juice needs to go to the right location, if you catch my drift. With all the sweating, my bladder wasn't getting the volume it needed. People were keeping their distance, and the tour guide began to eye me suspiciously. I did my best to keep to the shadows, and that's when I noticed the other members in my group seemed to have an unusual number of cameras and recorders. I only had several water bottles, which I was chugging as fast and as discreetly as possible. Finally, I realized it was a group of reporters. The guide announced we would be heading to the press gallery, and I made a note of where the public washrooms were located. It's the first thing I do before going into action.
The negotiations are ongoing between Mr. Baines and the illegal Wildcat Strikers on the ground crew.
Our PR chaperone yelled back.
You are allowed to listen, take pictures, but no questions until we are back here in the lobby. Orbital Enterprises Director of Communications will take questions then.
General grumbling erupted from the group.
Those are the terms,
she reminded everyone sternly.
If you don't like them, feel free to leave.
There was more complaining. Wow, I had hit the jackpot, an express trip to Mission Control. Our press guide led us up a grand staircase to a mezzanine, where the walls were plastered with ceiling-to-floor murals of historic space missions, culminating in a big scene where my client is shaking the hand of the last astronaut to walk on the moon. Hey, even I could tell it was photoshopped. She placed her hand on a plate, and after a moment, a large door slid open. We walked through into the back of the mission control room, where all the techs were focused on a large screen which curved around the front wall. Most of it was displaying a map of the world with a wavy red line superimposed over it. A blinking green dot was slowly inching its way along the line toward Australia. To one side, another screen showed a puffy, red-faced version of my client, glaring into the camera. He had Dad's look just before he shot laser beams from his eyes. I was instinctively getting ready to duck when he looked down at something. My cell immediately pinged, and I almost jumped, dropping the thing. Checking to make sure no one was looking, I stooped over to pick it up and held it just in front of my nose so I could read the message on its tiny screen.
I can see you at the back of the press gallery looking like a sweating idiot. Good disguise.
The message read. I fumbled with my remaining water bottles so I could thumb in a response. How did you...
No, facial recognition software, of course,
he typed.
On the social media platform I bought. You have a profile, a pitiful number of followers. I should have checked this before I hired you. Bad on me, I guess. Now, end this.
He demanded. Mr. Baines finished texting, then looked back into the camera and sneered at Capcom, who was standing in front of the first row of consoles.
We've been going through this for hours. You're all independent contractors, you all accepted the fee schedule and the terms of engagement, and you knew I didn't pay for bio breaks when you signed. As per your agreement, we provided each workstation with a sanitary receptacle. Just initiate the deorbit and we'll negotiate face-to-face when I'm back. I don't make deals when I'm being extorted.
Mr. Baines looked down again, and my phone vibrated, this time very impatiently, and I knew what I had to do. Squinting, I looked at the first row of consoles, locating the one I thought was labeled Flight Dynamics. There was only one way this was going to work before I ran out of bottled water. Against my client's direct order, I stripped off my clothes, exposing my body-hugging superhero outfit. Okay, admittedly, there is padding and shapewear to compensate for my... natural tendency to mimic a pair. The defiant act immediately let my body cool, so I chugged the remaining bottled water and waited for the magic. It only took a minute or two. Capcom was complaining about hourly wages and overtime when the urge hit. I suddenly felt like I was about to burst and time cruelly slowed. I exploded out of the press gallery and wound my way to the flight dynamics console. Why were there so many people standing in inconvenient places, like trees in the middle of a baseball diamond? A few added seconds, and I would have to... I pushed the thought down and focused on the console, which grew closer and closer all too slowly. Was my superpower now affecting me? No, I growled determinedly and screwed my face up, then eventually pushed through and found myself standing before two identical colored green or gray buttons. I couldn't decide which. The blurry labels above them didn't help, and I was running out of time. Without glasses or contacts, superheroes only use glasses as a disguise, with limited effect, I might add. I can only read things if they are less than 6 inches from my face. But I couldn't get that close. There was a person sitting at the station blocking me. I reached desperately around them, my hand hovering first over one, then the other button. Nature and biology finally forced a decision. I hit the left one and ran for the washroom. Half a world away, my client made a ballistic re-entry over the Australian outback, blazing a trail across the sky in a display which made even Cousin Vortex jealous of the news coverage. Mr. Baines was not impressed, despite eventually winning the labor dispute and firing everyone involved. Despite keeping his name out of the news, Vortex is convinced I owe him for services rendered. And, speaking of debts, I'm being sued by Orbital Enterprises for the damage Vortex caused in the parking lot. I guess I should have kept my clothes on. My Dr. Slow-Mo logo was clearly visible in the camera footage, and my career coach wasn't impressed. I thought I remembered her saying any PR was better than no PR. Oh well. I'm trying to pay off the damages so I can get back on Hero on the Way. Honcho tells me they now have to deliver packages when they're out on a gig. I'm glad Honcho hasn't yet connected the recent takeover with me. I've started a page over on Support a Superhero. Any donation over $20 gets you an official Dr. Slow-Mo sticker. Please, give me a thumbs up. Until next time. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com and take a listen to I Love This, You Should Too, a podcast about sharing the things you like with the people you love, regardless of how terrible you think their taste may be. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by Park Power, your friendly local utilities provider in Alberta, offering internet, electricity, and natural gas with low rates, awesome service, and profit sharing with local charities. In Alberta, you get to choose who to buy your internet, electricity, and natural gas from. Park Power has low overhead, which in turn allows them to offer low, competitive rates. Reach out for a no-obligations comparison by emailing estimates@parkpower.ca. If you decide to switch, it's easy. It's really just a change to your billing, and you can feel good, knowing you are helping to give back to our community with your utility bills. Learn more at parkpower.ca.
This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by ATB Financial. Hosted by Todd Hirsch, ATB Financial's Vice President and Chief Economist, The Future of Podcast has launched its second season. By connecting with industry leaders to uncover what's on the horizon for the things that mean the most to you, The Future of Podcast promises to give you insights to help navigate what is often an uncertain future. Explore how our economy and communities can not only brace for change, but embrace the opportunity it creates. Subscribe to The Future of in the Apple Store, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. And connect with us at atb.com/thefutureof. Makeshift Stories is released around the beginning and middle of the month. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read and recorded by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. Audio post-production by Matthew Erdman. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.